Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Nun Vav, Baba Metzia 56a, pagination is 111, starting from the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of the page. Ve'elu devarim she'ein lohem ona'a. And these are examples of things that do not have ona'a. We're just going to do two of the examples. Ona'a is that there was a deviation in the price for the item such that it's considered a violation of lo sonu ish es achiv in a mekach or memkar. During a transaction, you should not aggrieve your fellow. You should not wrong them. And they unknowingly, not realizing that there was a fair market value for this product and that there was a deviation here, either unfairly to the buyer or unfairly to the seller, it's a violation of this mitzvah. And in many cases, there would be recourse to undo the sale. So the Mishnah lists hashtaros, documents that represent a loan that were being sold, v'hakarkaos, and real estate also doesn't have ona'a associated with it. Likewise, these items, shtar, document, and karka, real estate, on the next line, elam tashlume kefel, they don't have payments of double associated with them if they were stolen. And likewise, they do not have the payments of four or five if they were stolen. Likewise, the Mishnah continues, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, a unpaid watchman would not swear regarding these items. V'nose Sochar Eino Mishalim, and a paid watchman would not be paying regarding these items. On Amud Beis, on the second line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, there are other examples that also do not have ona'a. Now, when we talk about the examples we gave so far, a shtar, a document, the Gemara is going to explain, because ein gufo mamon, it's not intrinsically an asset. It represents a different thing, which is the asset. It's a conceptual money type of thing rather than a tangible money type of thing. Karka, also real estate, it goes by its own rules. It's not really stolen. Whatever, we can understand how these two items are going to get exclusions, the Gemara is going to say, based on Psukim, but it's not hard in logic to appreciate the exclusion. Rabbi Yehuda is going to introduce other items which would have seemed to be regular routine items of transaction. And he says, Af hamocher sefer Torah, also a person who sells a sefer Torah, behema, an animal, umargolis, or a diamond, ein lohem ona'a, these things also do not have ona'a, amru lo. And the sages responded, lo omru elo es elu, they only declared the items that we listed to be exempt from ona'a, and other items are going to be included in ona'a, including the Sefer Torah, the Behema, and the Margolis. Now, the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda as to why these three items he added to the list of exemptions can be found on Nun Ches Amud Beis, about eight lines from the top. The Gemara tells us that the Sefer Torah, the reason is because Lefisha Ein Ketz Lidameho, it's priceless, and therefore it's not really ona'a. And the behema and the margolis, the animal and the precious stone, mipnei sha'odom rotza lezavgon, because a person is looking to pair them up, the animal paired up in a yoke so that they'll work well together. Otherwise, he'll have problems ongoing. The gem, he needs it to match it up to something, to a diamond ring, etc. And therefore, it ends up being priceless in this transaction. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no ona'a on it. We paskin, like the sage's response, that it was only specific things that are excluded based on psukim, as we will see in the next session. And otherwise, there is ona'a. In Reish Chaf Zayin, in Choshen Mishpat, Se'if Tes Vav, the Mechaber writes, Bechol metaltelen yesh ona'a, there is ona'a by all movable objects, afilu b'sfarim, even by scrolls, afilu ba'avanim tovos, even by precious gems, umargolios, there is going to be ona'a by these things, and we don't accept the argument of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you're looking to expand your horizons, Rabbi Spitz, in his book, Cases in Monetary Halacha, has, I believe it's the very last section of the book, a section on ona'a, and he has a section, a subsection, within ona'a, page 336, regarding esrig, as one of the items, things that are indeed excluded from ona'a, at least within reason. The idea by esrig, as he presents it, is that in many cities, an esrig of a certain quality or whatever, it doesn't have a fixed price. I know that in many communities, they've pushed it towards a fixed price. And then there would be ona'a if a person priced it out of range. But in many communities, it's more of a haggle type of business, and a person chooses an esrig, looks at it, decides he likes it, how much do you want for it? And the result is that there's not a firm price for that esrig. It's taking into account the shape, the color, the size, halacha, the way this particular person, how much he likes it. There's so many factors that it's hard to argue ona'a on such a product, because what is its fixed price? But he acknowledges, if it was clearly out of range for its quality, either in halacha or the range was so absurd that perhaps even in how mehudar it is, it's taking advantage. It's aggrieving the party. It's selling him an item with all smiles and service that's totally out of range. Even with the service, it doesn't make sense. Then there would still be a question of ona'a relevant to that. Another interesting concept is that karka, real estate, even though it doesn't intrinsically have ona'a, and we'll see that in the next session, but there are rishonim who hold that if the karka was doubled in price from its fair price, if there's really an absurd surge in its price, then ona'a would be relevant. The Pischei Choshen, in the volume on Ona'a, Perek Yud, footnote Chaf Zayin, I believe it is, writes that sometimes you have a situation where it's an investment, and on the investment, the price was correct. He gives an example. A person is buying real estate, and even if we accept the view of the Rishonim, who say that it's an absurd price, then there would be ona'a relevant to it, but if the reason the price was so high was because there was speculation that there's gold on that property, and the person is buying it intending to dig, and this is the structure, the nature of the business, so then that speculation, that possibility, would, on the open market, send the price of that property higher on the possibility that there's gold there. The fact that you went ahead and found that there is no gold there doesn't make it ona'a. At the time, everybody was in the same boat. That was indeed the purchase price for that property. And in such a case, even if we accept the concept of ona'a by karka when it's absurd, but this is not absurd. And similarly, it would seem that we would apply this idea by all items. If there's speculation that the price of steel is going up, and suddenly people are buying steel for more than seems reasonable because they're expecting there's going to be need for it, so then that becomes the new price for the product based on the open market. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.